Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Muslim Sister Circle. Today we will be speaking about homeschooling versus virtual learning, but we will mainly talk about what parents and teachers are experiencing with our new normal, virtual learning. We're going to have some callers call in, and if you're able to, you can call in as well. I think we have a caller on hold. Hasana, do we have someone on hold already? Thank you for calling. I think like the call dropped.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم
الدين. I don't know what's happening today. We're having some technical difficulty. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? Why can't anyone hear? Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
I don't know. I was having some technical difficulties. Walaikum salam.
My name is Hudala. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. How's everybody?
Good, alhamdulillah. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
And other caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Alexis, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Okay, thank you for calling in today. So, you know that our topic is about virtual learning versus homeschooling. And I know that Hudala has had experience with both, correct?
Yes. All three.
Okay. All three. And Alexis, you have experience with virtual learning, right? Can you hear me?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I know my beautiful nephew is doing virtual learning, right? Okay, so let's hear from Hudala first. What's your experience been like, Hudala?
Okay, so homeschooling was pretty tough because I did not know what I was doing, and it was a disaster. I had a co-wife, and she was pretty much more knowledgeable because that was her passion to be a teacher. So she kind of like directed me through everything, and I felt like we were just like, this is what we have to do. We got to just cyber school, and that's it. I mean, homeschool the kids, and there was no support in New York. You was just like on your own, and not knowing what I was doing, the children kind of like fell behind, and we didn't have a lot of support at all, or very little. So I remember Nisa, you kind of like helped the kids with their mapping, you know, and she used to sing a song to them, and the kids is stuck with them. So it just that one support went such a long way, where you know, the kids kind of learn, you know, their they're seven, like, you know, they learned from just hanging out with Sister Nisa one day. But with virtual school, with cyber schooling, was much better, much easier, because you actually had support. There was the teachers that was teaching the children, so mm-hmm. they knew what they were doing. All you had to do was kind of like be the support, make sure the kids are logging in, and, you know, make sure that they were doing their work and things like that. And even that was challenging, because then if you have different children, different grades, you have to be on top of them. And if you have, like, other activities in your own life, like working and your wife, you have to make sure the house is maintained and things like that. That's challenging. So I just, mm-hmm. you know, I'm wholly in for, like, in-person school, if you ask me. That was, like, probably the best, because, you know, the children are instructed somewhere safe. And, you know, that, if you ask me which one I would have picked that one, you know, hopefully, you know, Muslim school.
Well, where, homeschooling?
You know, exactly.
You would choose homeschooling over virtual?
I would choose neither one of them. I would just basically choose a teacher, you know. And
okay.
if I had to do homeschooling, I would have somebody come in into my
mm-hmm.
home that actually know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
If I had that choice, I wouldn't try to do it myself, because it was just too much. It was a lot. And, you know, and then I worked, so that kind of, like, made it even worse. And, you know, I was married, so that was even double worse. So, and plus, I didn't know what I was doing. So I feel that, you know, you if you don't know what you're doing, you need to ask. You need to ask for help. Don't be shy. Don't be, like, don't have pride, because it's not about you. It's about the kids. You have to ask. You have to say, I don't know what I'm doing. I need help, and get help wherever you can, because the children pay for it later and they fall behind. So, you know,
right.
if you have the opportunity
right.
to do cyber schooling, I will push for that, especially because you get that support. You have someone
who
has
the
knowledge.
What do you mean by cyber school?
Like, virtual school is another word for cyber. Like, where I live in Pennsylvania, we do cyber schooling, where everything is covered. It's like a live teacher. Your children are being educated through internet with a live teacher.
So that's like what you're
district.
Doing now, right? Isn't that like what they're doing now, virtual learning?
Yep, they're doing virtual learning, and
mm-hmm.
they also do hybrid. So they go to school 2 days, and then they do virtual learning. I do have to tell you, that's even challenging for some of my kids, because some of
mm-hmm.
my kids are not motivated to log in at all. So it's difficult. You got to push. You got to be on top of those kids, and you got to, you know, put your foot down, because then they will fall behind, even
right.
with their life teacher. So it's not for everybody. It's not for every children, I could tell you that.
What do the children prefer?
Well, I have one child that is doing virtual. I have three children right now that are in school still. And
mm-hmm.
that one of my children love it. She doesn't want to be outside with and dealing with anyone at all. She doesn't like engaging in person to person. But the other two children that I have, they'd rather go to school in person, because they feel
mm-hmm.
like they feel like they don't get as much benefit online versus in person. And plus, you know, right now it's even better for them, because it's only like about five people in their classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So the attention is, you know, so they get the teacher all to themselves. They have more time, you know, with whatever it is that they need to get together. But they don't like cyber schooling. They don't like online schooling at all, except for one of my
mm-hmm.
kids. Yeah, they don't
mm-hmm.
like it, because it's challenging and it's not motivating. And, you know, and my son, he always say, you know, like, when you do virtual school or cyber school, when you need help
mm-hmm.
and you don't have anybody there to give you that assistant, it sucks. And this is from a 13-year-old. And that's
mm-hmm.
what he was. That was one of the things that he told his teacher. You know, one of the kids in his classroom said, I want to do cyber schooling. And he said, really? He goes, you have no idea how hard it is. He goes, because when you are in need of that assistant, when you need help, and there's
mm-hmm.
nobody to give you that help, then it's gonna it sucks. Those were
mm-hmm.
his words. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, unless you know
like
what you're doing again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna let Alexis. Are you still there? I know the calls keep dropping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your experience with Linux and homeschool and virtual learning?
Sorry for the noise. It's been a little difficult. Can you because he's all in my business, because, you know, he is only 9 and he's in the 5th grade, so mm-hmm. his maturity level when it comes to the schoolwork or being responsible, being mature enough to get up and log in and, you know, take the initiative to do things on his own is a little less than the other kids in his class. So, you know,
hold on, Alexis, I'm sorry. I see a lot of people calling in, and I know you're on hold. Please be patient with us. Just we started a little late because we had some technical difficulties, but don't hang up because we want to hear from you. Okay, go ahead, Alexis.
So it is, you know, a bit difficult in terms of just allowing him or having him stay on track with his work. The work mm-hmm. isn't difficult. He has, you know, me and all of that, but, you know, I'm working and stuff, so it's hard keeping track of him to make mm-hmm. sure that he is staying on track. But, you know, I can't put too much on him because he's only 9 and I'm expecting a lot, and it is a lot. But when it comes to the whole structure of the class, the teacher's very supportive. You know, they're very helpful. She's very helpful for whatever he needs. She takes time out. She'll create little special schedules for him in order for him to stay on track. But mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's been difficult for the both of us because we knew it was a lot, but we didn't know to what extent it was going to be. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has been challenging for the both of us to be able to navigate the system. Linux doesn't like talking. He doesn't like participating. He doesn't like
mm-hmm.
doing school. He likes being in school, so, you know, to see his friends, but this whole thing, he doesn't like going because you have to
mm-hmm.
keep his attention, and it's just not
right.
really keeping his attention.
Right. How has it affected, you know, being a full-time mom and a full-time employee? Like, how has it affected that?
Oh, it's been very difficult. So, you know, I have to stop working just so that I can devote my time and attention to him. Yes, I have to work, but I also have to make sure he doesn't fall behind. He falls behind, and that's a reflection on me as a parent, and the school will then look at me as I'm not doing my job and I'm neglecting him educationally wise because I'm not being there supporting him. So
mm-hmm.
it's difficult trying to balance both when you have a 9-year-old. Now, if he was older
right.
and he knew, you know, the structure of everything a little bit better, then it might be a little bit different. But because he's only 9 and I am a single parent, it's even harder.
Right. Yeah. So we have some
yeah.
teachers calling in also, and we would like to hear what they have to say. If you guys, Hudella and Alexa, have any questions for them, I'm sure that they'll be willing to answer any questions. It's good to hear the different experiences that everyone is having. And, you know, maybe we can get some advice from the teachers on how to best handle this new normal that's virtual learning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Marcia, are you there?
Yes. Hi, how are you? Hi, everyone.
Hi. And I think we
have
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. So we have Afaf and Marcia. They're both teachers. So I'll have Marcia. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Marcia Little. I'm a high school teacher. I teach in Yonkers, New York. This is my 30th year in education, and by
wow.
far the most difficult.
Wow. I could imagine. So we're going to come back to you with some questions. Afaf, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so I noticed that the calls keep dropping, and today we had some technical difficulties. But can you introduce yourself, and then we'll get into some questions with you guys.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Good evening, everyone. My name is Afa. I'm a teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing. I've been working in the education system since I was about 21 years old, so almost 20 years now. I have 4 children of my own. And as well as working from home as a teacher, I'm also working with my students in the capacity that they're learning as well.
Okay, very good. Okay, so Ms. Marcia, what's working for your high schoolers and what's not working for them?
You know, at first, the fact that everyone didn't have the opportunity to have devices, that wasn't working. When they started signing on and getting devices, then everything started getting better, because one of the problems that we have is access. Pandemic has definitely shown the difference with the gap between the rich and the poor, and I don't like it. It's an ugly, ugly gap, and I just really wish that everyone had the equal opportunity to learn well and to do well. So once the kids have the devices and then they are buying into the system that this is the new normal, then it is working. If the children do not buy into it, and it is difficult. It's not easy. It is not what we're accustomed to. But this is what we have now. We are being judged and graded and put against everyone else at this point the same way, on equal footing.
You mean as a teacher?
Per se.
As a teacher,
so
you guys are being judged?
I know a lot of parents are not happy with the fact that we have virtual learning or hybrid education, but we have to start looking at it with a positive attitude. It's not the best, but it is what we have. And so I think a lot of times outcomes are determined by how we perceive it. And I need parents to gravitate towards accepting the fact that this is where we are. And once we accept where we are, then our children will have a similar attitude, because we project onto them what we feel. And sometimes I have two children myself. I have a 26-year-old and I have a 15-year-old. My 15-year-old goes to school and, you know, hybrid education, but he's special needs. So there is a problem. And I had to start deciding that I was going to start projecting a positive attitude. And once I started projecting a positive attitude towards him, he started having a better attitude. And it's difficult for parents and children, but we have to do what we have to do as women.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hi, can you hear me? Hello? Afaz?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know why Marcia can't hear me. Marcia? Okay. Afaf, tell us your experience with your students.
So I'm a related service provider, which means that I provide additional support for my students. Whatever they're assigned in their classrooms, normally I try to reinforce what they're learning to make up the areas that they're missing out on. And I would say that my greatest job has been being emotionally supportive. Because throughout this pandemic and throughout this virtual learning, that we have forgotten that the children are being affected by the adults and being affected by the things going on around them. So in my first 10 minutes that I'm working with my students, I just give them the opportunity to talk about how they're feeling. I'm constantly asking them how they're feeling and allowing them to express themselves, because their emotional well-being is affecting their ability to learn. So I'm privileged in that aspect that I'm not a classroom teacher, so I'm not forced to teach these different items. And if I don't teach it to them, then it's a reflection on me, but I'm more of a supportive role. So that allows me to support my students more and prepare them better for them to be in the classroom. I would say that the population that I'm working with, working in Bushwick, a large amount of my students are Spanish-speaking, and there's a huge language barrier for their parents, and their parents are completely out of the know. And it might come across to us as educators that they're being neglectful, but in reality, they're being left out because their children are taking advantage of the fact that they don't speak the language, and they already was at a disadvantage because they don't know the schoolwork. But now they're not aware of the technology, they're not aware of the assignments, they're not aware of the schedules. So So I'm very supportive in my role now as a teacher. I almost spend half the time actually teaching, whereas I'm supporting the students and the parents.
So do you think that is not working for the students, or it's not working for the parents, but it's working for the students? The students enjoy the virtual learning?
So I have a different view altogether, because I actually think that the DOE has been doing a really good job in spite of all of the things that's been happening. Because I'm looking at it from the view of a teacher and as a parent, because I can honestly say that even though there's been this change in the way that we're learning, I feel like my children are still learning. I feel like their teachers are engaging with them as best possible. So I think that the issues that we're having aren't really in our control, because we were kind of thrown into it. You know, the other young lady was talking about technology, and that was a huge problem in the beginning. And I would say a lot of the schools have been able to get the technology to the students, but they still need the support in terms of teaching the parents as well how to use the technology.
There's a lot of background noise from someone. I don't know if we could move to a quieter place. It's a lot of, like, noise. The other people saying they can't hear. Okay, go ahead, Afa.
Yeah, so in addition to the lack of technology, it's really been the lack of training, because they will send assignments to the students and to the parents, and the parents have no idea how to check if the child did the work, and then they're getting these phone calls and these emails saying that your child is not doing the work, what is going on, and the parent is like, okay, they're using the teacher, they're using the child as the person to let them know, hey, I did the work, when in fact they might have not done it, but the parent actually needs to be trained as well in how to use the new technology. So
right, and
I think
since they're not Spanish, since they're Spanish speaking, are there resources to kind of help them with this whole new normal of, you know, the virtual learning, so that the kids aren't taking advantage of the situation where the parents are not speaking English, and then the children are, so they're getting away with more stuff? Is there, like, some type of resources that the school is providing for the parents?
I'm sorry. Who is that question directed to? This is Marcia. I'm back
on. Either one. I'm sorry. Either one.
So I would say that.
And 70% of the school system is Hispanic. So the superintendent is Hispanic, and he tries very hard to make sure that everything is done in dual language. With that being said, the kids are so smart in what they want to be smart and how to trick the parents sometimes, that the parents don't always get all the messages the way it is, because the children sometimes, not all the time, uses the fact that there's a language gap to get around it, to circumvent what needs to be done, you know? But what happened is that the school district do need to make a better effort to communicate directly with the parents, because children are children. When we were younger, we did things, too, that we didn't want our parents to know about or whatever. And it's not that the parents will never find out about it. It's a delayed situation. We don't want this to be delayed. And this is what I'm noticing. I'm noticing that children, black and brown children all over, a lot of things is being delayed for them. Do you know what I mean?
You said you're in the Bronx, Monty?
No, I'm in Yonkers.
You're in Yonkers. Okay. So I hear that things are much different up there than they are down here. Because, Afaf, you're saying you're having a different experience. So you said your children are getting what they need, right?
They're
not always getting what they need. Both my kids are not getting what they need either. But what I'm saying is that go ahead, Afaf. Maybe we're having a different experience. Go ahead.
My issue is not that I feel like the children are not getting what they need per se. I would say that the whole school community, in terms of the teachers, parents, and students working together, is not happening in an effective way, because the parents, being that they speak a different language, they're not always in the know as to what is happening in real time. And the mm-hmm. students are taking advantage of that. And you asked about resources.
And that's what I'm saying, too. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I would say that the resources mm-hmm. are limited because, like, so for instance, when I hold meetings, I have a translator. They gave us a translator hotline that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it's beneficial, but we don't have any resources to translate the literature that we're giving out aside from Google Translate, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
And also, I haven't witnessed, I know that in some of the schools they have a parent coordinator who speaks dual languages and she'll offer some type of support, but I'm not aware of any direct link to a place where everything is translated in Spanish, that the parent is able to go to the website and it's all in Spanish. I'm not aware of that. So everything, there's a delay, like Marcia mentioned, because they're not getting it in real time. And it's always
That's
things
right.
up to translation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I agree
so
with
I
that.
So I have a parent.
One
of the parents wants to chime in about how she's doing in Maryland and the support that Maryland is giving the students. Alexis?
Yes. See, out here in Maryland, Linux gets all the support he needs, whether it's a laptop, whether it's teacher time, whether it's guidance counselor time, whether it's with the drum teacher, whether like every week they're providing or every 2 weeks or whatever they're providing additional materials for the kids. So if the kids is moving on to a different topic, then they're, you know, doing drive-throughs or you can go and pick up different materials at the school. So it's a different experience hearing them, I guess, you know, speak about dual languages and all the issues. I know out here everything comes in a different language, whether it's Spanish, Mandarin, French, English, whatever it is, whatever email you get is translated in all languages. And like she was saying, you know, rich and poor or whatever, you know, out here it's not, you know, they're not rich, but it's predominantly white kids out here. So they have a lot more resources when it comes to any and everything when it comes to the school system. So it's different, I guess, they're saying from like a teacher's perspective, but I'm the parent from the outside, and I see the support that not just me I'm getting, or not just Linux, but for me too, because the teacher will take time out for me to help me go through this website that they use, Schoology, where it has its grades, where the work is set up. So she'll take time out with me so that I can learn how to navigate the system, because that was the problem in the beginning. I didn't really know, so I left it up to his 9-year-old self to tell me, like she said, you know, to be the middleman between me and the school. But once I met with her and I spoke with her, it became a little bit more easier for me to grasp everything that he has to do. But Linux gets so much more support out here because, you know, he was in school in New York too. But out
mm-hmm.
here, the school systems are completely different. They're super
and
helpful.
I just wanted to chime in about my 15-year-old son. He goes to private school, and I have every support I could possibly dream of. They have a parent,
mm-hmm.
before school started and before all this happened, they had a parent workshop to teach us how to use the system and
mm-hmm.
how to use
yep,
every,
that
and
too.
I thought I was educated. And so the
mm-hmm.
things that they taught me was not what I expected. And I said, wait a minute, I'm a teacher and I'm using some platform, but they use all these different things. That's just more user. So the experience my child is having and the experience my students are having is the difference between night and day. And this is for
mm-hmm.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to say that we always have to remember whenever we're talking about the DOE, the New York City public school system, we have the largest public school system in the country. So we're always
having
that are far
right.
more difficult than a smaller school district, than another state. And then we're faced with so many problems because we're so multicultural. There's so many people that speak different languages. So we're
mm-hmm.
always going to be at a certain disadvantage and have to do things in a different way. Like smaller schools and schools that have more money, they're able
but
to
then
do things.
Parents will actually have
easier.
To be more proactive too. I'm sorry, parents have to be proactive if they really want their child to succeed. Then parents have to be proactive to make sure that their child isn't falling behind and they're getting the tools and all the necessary support and everything. You can't, you know, leave it to your child to just say, okay, yeah, I'm good, but you have to be proactive and be able to communicate and have that line of communication between you as a parent and the teacher, because if not, then that's when your child does fall behind and they won't have the support or the tools that they need. So, you know, Lennox was in private school and in public school in New York and out here, so I know all the different areas of schooling and the different ways of, you know, ran and the support, but if you're proactive, and I'm a very proactive, outspoken parent, Lennox always gets what he needs because I'm not going to wait for the teacher or wait for someone to call me to tell me.
I totally
oh,
agree
well,
with you. I wish
happening.
I had every parent like you in my class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I totally
right.
agree with you. You are awesome. You're the parent we all dream about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Fuzella has something
proactive.
To say.
I'm very
I think, outspoken. I
just want to jump in. I just
I
wanted
Fuzella's
to jump in and just say mm-hmm. something. You know, like, okay, so where I am, again, just like Marilyn, you get a lot of support. I just want to let you know, like, the teachers also are parents, and they've been teaching for years and years and years. And what I do know, the difference between New York and other states, I've lived in New York, and I have to homeschool. And the district doesn't care what you do. They don't want to – there's no support whatsoever when it comes to homeschooling in New York. It's like you just have to go ahead and you just got to give them what they need to show that you're doing your part, and that's about it. So I do know from experience that there's very little to no support when it comes to, like, teaching. My children attended charter school, and it was like some of you said, night and day, you know, and it was totally different. And they also, you know, did public school. So I do see the difference, and all. It all depends on the teacher and what kind of teacher the kids do have. You know, some teachers really don't care. Some teachers love their job, and you see it. Now, where I am, even the teachers, and they are very knowledgeable. Since this pandemic hit, I can see the difference. Like everybody, if you are doing cyber school naturally, it's like they have no problem. It doesn't affect them because this is something they do, like, all the time, all year round. Now, they started
exactly.
with
Schoology,
like
learning.
You said. Right. They started with this program. It didn't work out. They just basically wanted you to do some work. They wanted to see effort. If you did, whether you learned and understood and remembered anything, they didn't care. They just wanted you to do something. They wanted to see your child making some effort because at this point, nobody knew what they were doing, but they didn't want the children to just sit there. Like, you know, we get provided for all kind of equipment we need, including internet support, and they pay your bill or whatever it is. But some people, like, you know, some borough within Pennsylvania doesn't do that. They wait till the last minute because everything is still in the air. Now, what's happening right now, they are supporting the kids, and they are making phone calls. So you do have those teachers, like, they're feeling it. They hate that the children are falling behind. But what I do realize, they are putting so much pressure on those teachers that it's like they're coming at you, not because they, you know, they're trying to be mean. They're just really coming at you like, hey, go. Somebody's above them and coming at them. So now it becomes, okay, they want to make sure they want to see the teachers doing what they got to do. And I don't even know if they really care if the kids are learning at this point, because right now it's just about making sure some effort is noticeable, you know. So I feel bad for
it. I want to speak to that. I agree with you. The teachers are under a lot of pressure. We're the middleman. We're under the pressure from administration and parents, and we're under pressure from the state. We're under pressure from the students. It's just like everything. The teacher is the punching bag at this point. Most school systems didn't have this type of learning online, offline, right. Everything. We had to like fly by our, you know, like we're building the plane as we're flying the plane, and they expected the teachers to be on board with no training,
right.
And they expected a miracle, and that's not how life goes. Life goes, okay, mm-hmm. I have to say that after the school year and the summer break, when we went back to school in September, there was training provided. But the training that was provided was not enough to start school. We went to work September 1st, and school started September 10th. We had Labor Day weekend in between that. We really only had 6 days to provide everything that we did differently for all these years online. And every word you say must be online. Like, it has to be mm-hmm. able to be right. So it's constant preparation, preparation, preparation. You don't even have time to eat lunch. I don't even eat lunch at work. I eat while I teach. I try to go offline and eat because there's no preparation time. There's not enough time in the day to do everything you need to do to provide for the students that's in front of you and the students that's online at the same time. It is hard. I've never worked this hard in my 30 years of teaching that I'm working right now. I've never worked this hard.
I just want to give advice to the teachers because, parents are educators as well, but it's not the same. You have your child to teach what's in front of you. From what I've seen, like, out here and dealing, I have a lot of teachers that I do keep in touch with, and it is very stressful, and all I can advise you guys is just take it one day at a time. You do your best. We know, and everybody knows, the DEO knows, everybody knows that this is something that's challenging and it's difficult. So no matter how much pressure they put on you, you can only do one thing at a time, and I would advise that you do one thing at a time because you're feeling it, your kids are feeling it, and your students are feeling it. You're not going to give your best. You're not going to give your all, and the parents are also feeling it. So all I can tell you is just do your best, and you continue to do one day at a time because this pandemic, it's just another challenge that, you know, you're going to see how her skill for you. Are you going to, you know, it's challenging your skill. It's making you, it's challenging what you love, and which is teaching. So I would honestly say don't let it get to you. You just continue to do your best. Don't lose confidence in what you love doing all these years. You love it, so you continue to do it.
Thank you. That is great advice.
Can I speak?
That is great advice.
Can you hear me?
I wrote it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who else is on the line?
I'm sorry. My name is Mariam. I'm a Afaf's sister, and she gave
Mariam.
Me the link to call in. Yeah, so I wanted to just make a comment. If I go to them, I wanted to just make a comment as far as a parent, from a parent's perspective.
Let us know where you're calling from.
Working with children. Oh, I apologize for that. I'm calling from Delaware, so not New York, although I'm a New Yorker at heart and forever. I'm calling from Delaware. And I just wanted to chime in so my children, I have three children in the public school system, but they range in terms of abilities. One of them is gifted and is in a gifted school, and the other two have what's called an IEP, individual education plan, and they have some learning delays that, you know, we work with the school for them. But the one that I want to speak to the most about is about my youngest son, who's in first grade. And I guess my concern as a parent is, and I've actually read an article about parents suing the state of New York or the Board of Education because children with disabilities are not getting the education that they need, and they're not getting their needs met. And so I'm speaking from a parent who has a child with a language delay. And one of the questions I posed to the special education teacher as well as the in-classroom teacher is that what access will a child who has a language delay have to the material in order to learn when the primary mode of learning through online learning or remote learning is with language? Meaning they didn't really create a program for children specifically with a language delay in our school district, not speaking to what's going on in other states, for children specifically who have a language delay where the mode of teaching is through language, because most of what is there for the children, the teachers are using language. I know sometimes, you know, when children learn a different way, there's nonverbal ways that children learn, but those programs are not being accessed, at least in our school system. Or for my little first grader,
if your teacher's wearing a mask and the kids need to have to see your face, your expression and everything, how could they learn? My son took speech since he was 16 months old, and he needed that nonverbal,
nonverbal
as well
as
the verbal.
So basically, my Well, they're not doing enough. So my career is completely separate. I work in the medical field, but I've had to actually step back a bit from my career in order to be a teacher's assistant. And the way that I explained it to his teachers was that in looking at him and observing him participating in class, it felt like a person looking at a foreign film and just not having the subtitles. So my role as a parent is giving the subtitles, is translating what the teacher is trying to teach him in ways in which he can understand. So sometimes it's breaking it down for him. Sometimes it's redirecting him. It's everything in order for him to understand what he needs to do. But he literally cannot go more than 10 minutes without my direct supervision, or else he will not get it done. Now, the school has since started hybrid learning. He goes to school part of the week. But when he goes to school, because the teacher is still teaching from the classroom as well as teacher the kids online, he comes home with his work not done. So he's not actually getting
to be separate.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah, I don't know why
they've
done this, but so he gets more work done with me at home than he does in the classroom. But I do want to say one thing about the teacher. I have to say that in just my observance, these teachers are working so hard. They are working like around the clock. I have to take my hat off to the diligence. And how hard, I'm not going to say that she or any one of his teachers are on break. They are off break all day, every day. I mean, sometimes 8, 10 o'clock they're sending out, you know, information about the class and that sort of thing. So I'm not saying that they're not working to the best of their ability. What I'm saying is that he does not have access, given that he has a disability. And so I hear parents' frustration, and I echo that in terms of me as a parent, and that I see that for kids who learn on an average basis, they may have the things that they need through the remote learning, but for kids who have any sort of delays, or even those kids who may be have an IEP because they're gifted, they're not really getting the education that they need. Although I do have to say, I take my hat off to the teachers. They're trying. They're trying. So
that's my little input.
The
point we could take away is that we need the parent, the students, and the teachers working together, collaborating all the time in order for this virtual learning to work.
That's the perfect takeaway. And the thing is, the parents have to get on board.
Okay, you guys, we have only 9 seconds left. And I just want to thank you guys for calling in. I'm so sorry, but we're going to continue this conversation next week because I really want to hear the advice that you guys have for parents that are struggling. You know, you guys are giving great advice, and I love you guys. I thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Muslim Sister Circle. We will definitely be back next Thursday at 6:30. Okay? Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much.
I love you,
Bob.
I love you,
Bob.
Assalamu alaikum.